Today we're talking about how to deal with this crisis. I'm right now inside of an empty auditorium, one of Crossroads Church's many auditoriums we have. No one's here because we've shut down our physical gathering this weekend. We're not sure how long it's going to last, but it's going to happen this weekend. We did this out of safety reasons, out of love reasons. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-discipline. Some people would say, isn't it fear if you're shutting down buildings and not having people gather? No, it's not fear. It's actually love. We're loving our communities by not having the potential of a virus spreading and somebody getting hurt. It's also a form of power. We're making decisions and we're empowering people to take hold of their lives. And it's a self-discipline issue. It's knowing that there's things that you can control, and the things you control, you should do those. We're going to talk about those things and some others throughout today. We're excited you're with us. If you're a longtime Crossroader, it's your very first time. I'm hoping you're going to get things here with us that you might not be getting in your other media outlets. And one of those things is going to be worship. We're going to try to connect to a transcendent being who is beyond us through music. And why don't I pray before we do that? God, you are good to have us here today and to be with us today. I'm thankful that all of us are able to participate. And I pray, God, that you would be pleased by what takes place, that you would be exalted, and that you would comfort your people. May this please you, God. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen.
Let's sing these words together. Your love never fails me or leads me astray. It always holds on, never separates. Your love never leaves or walks another way. It always pursues, it's the reason I sing. Come on, say, I sing 'cause you're good, yes. I sing of your kindness. Oh, I sing 'cause you're faithful, you never let go. your kindness. Well, I sing 'cause you're faithful, you never let go.
Psalm 91 says, "For he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Our God is powerful and he's with us. For you are here, you're moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're working in this place. I worship you, God, I worship you. You are here, you are here, you're moving in our midst. I worship. I worship you, and you are here, you're working in this place. I worship you, oh, I worship you. Sing who he is. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yes, he is. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, you're touching every heart. So I worship you, oh, I worship. Turning lives around. Yes, you are. So I worship you. Oh, I worship you. And you are here. You're mending every heart. Come on. So I worship you. And I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Stop. You never stop working. You never stop. We trust you, Lord. Even when I
powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
That song is actually called What a Beautiful Name It Is. That's the main refrain that happens in the song. And every time that happens, that song, I always think, well, you know, Jesus was a guy. How does he feel like your name is beautiful? And I wouldn't want someone saying Brian's name is beautiful. Nothing wrong with it. It's just a little odd. I like the song. I like it a lot. But here's the thing. That line is worth emphasizing. Powerful name. He is a powerful name because in times of crisis, you don't need ethereal ideas. You don't need like flower power, just be nice and loving. In times of crisis, you want actual, real power. That's the power that God provides. That's the power we want to step into right now. Let's pray for that. God, I pray that you would pour your power on us, whatever coffee shop we're in, whatever living room we're in, wherever we are right now. God, notice your people. Notice your people who want to be your people. Give us something we wouldn't have had if we just streamed Netflix. Give us a taste of you. Give us a perspective we can't get elsewhere. Give us a touch of your spirit. Beyond everything else that happens for the rest of our time, I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, now's the only time the pastor would say you can take a seat right now. You might have been sitting all the time anyway. So, I know we've got all different people of all different walks of life who are being affected in different ways by this crisis. And we're going to hear just a little bit from people who you might be able to identify with. Those of us who are in leadership positions or in government positions, you might be able to identify with my friend Chris, who's a Cincinnati city council member. Chris, what are you seeing and how are you feeling?
You know, this is a serious situation. People need to take it serious, avoid public spaces, be a safe distance from each other, constantly wash your hands. But we're doing everything we can to ensure that life goes on, that you have clean water, that your trash is picked up. So feel good that government is working the way it should.
So God, I pray a blessing on everybody who is making governmental decisions. Help them to make the right decisions. Help them to listen to the right people. Give them your power as they do their jobs. Amen. And then we're going to also have Rico, who is a school teacher. Rico, tell us what you're dealing with, how you're feeling.
We're feeling anxious. We don't know what distance learning means, while at the same time continuing to provide services like meals for kids that need them. We just don't know what the future holds and what that looks like in terms of relationships and continuing those with our students.
God, I thank you for Rico and for every teacher. It's a thankless job normally. It's even more thankless right now because all the old metrics are gone. The consistency of the same classroom is gone. I ask that you pour your grace on them, enable them to still be teachers for us, even though they're not in a traditional classroom. Help them to still form minds through distance, digital things, or other ways that you're going to use them. Thank you for them. Amen. We also have Monica, who is a mother, full-time mother. Monica, what's going on? How are you feeling?
I have four kids who are home from school on an extended spring break or online learning, and I'm feeling a little anxious about keeping them all healthy, but I'm also feeling blessed that we get to spend some extra family time together.
God, I know that all parents have a hard job, especially now with kids around more. I pray for increased energy, increased opportunities to talk to their kids, to form their kids. Raise their game, God. Their most important thing they do is build into those kids. And I pray they would still be built into, and you would find them the resources to do so. In your name I pray, amen. And my friend Leah, who is a pediatrician, represents many people who are in the medical industry. What are you feeling? What's going on?
Yeah, so this week has brought a lot of counseling, educating, helping to manage fears and anxieties of patients and families, while also adapting office protocols and trying to deal with the real problem of limited supplies, masks, gowns, face shields. So it's been a challenge, but we're ready to take it on and eager to continue helping people.
So God, I thank you for everyone, the medical profession who takes care of our bodies, who takes care of what's going on inside of us. I know that they're stressed. I know that they're low on supplies. I know that they have unbelievable responsibilities on them. Elevate them, God. Pour grace in them. Give them more energy. Give them crazy wisdom to diagnose and to care and comfort. They are your hands physically and your feet right now, God. Thank you for them. I pray these things in your name. Amen. You might not be one of these folks here, but there's other things that you represent. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to commission you right now. God, for all of the entertainers, all the people who make our life light, where people aren't buying tickets anymore, I pray that you'd help them to pray. Please bring levity. For all the servers, all the restaurateurs, all the businesses that are down and are hurting and are laying off people and are not sure where to go from here, God, I pray that you would pour your power there. Help us know how to direct those resources. For all the people who've already been homeless, who've already been out of work, now more of us are like them. I ask that you would still give them yourself. Enable these people to be who you create them to be, whether at their normal job or their normal walk of life or not. For the flight attendants, for the pilots, for everybody, every sector of the economy across the globe is affected, God, I ask you to bring your power and enable these people to still be who you have had them to be. They're still not those things. They just might not be doing those things as often. Bless them, I pray. Amen. Well, normal services, we normally say, hey, let's thank the band. So let's go ahead and thank the band. They were good, great. They didn't want to thank you. I'm up for thanking you. Yeah, we have small studio audience saying thanks the band. Our studio audience, not all of you are 6 feet apart. Shame on you. Shame on you. You should be. All right, here's the deal, man. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, now's the time to find out if you actually are one. See, we can call ourselves anything, but when a crisis hits, then we find out really who we are. We can have all kinds of beliefs and ideas and flowery sentiments, but man, when the stuff hits the fan, how we react, our view of that thing, our interpretation of that thing, that will tell us really if we have faith or if we do not have faith, if we have an abiding presence with God or if we don't have an abiding presence with God. The history of Christianity, the history of the world is one suffering after another, one difficulty after another, one tragedy after another, over and over and over again. I've heard some people say, oh man, I feel so disillusioned with this. That's good, good, that's wonderful. Because your illusions should be dissed. That's what disillusionment is. When your illusions are dissed, if you have an illusion that everything in life is going to be comfortable and everything is going to be easy and the economy should just keep clicking along and everything I want should fall right inside of my Excel spreadsheet, you, my friend, have been deluded and disillusioned. We've had a wonderful run last few years or decades, but what do you know? Life happens to everybody, always does. That's the chart of human history. Followers of Christ are used to dealing with conflict. We're used to dealing with crisis. It happens again and again and again. Sociologist Rodney Stark from the University of Baylor tried to study the spread of Christianity in the first century, and he saw it was because believers were responding differently in crisis. Here's actually what he says. What went on during the epidemics was only an intensification of what went on every day among Christians. Because theirs were communities of mercy and self-help, Christians did have longer, better lives. This was apparent and must have been extremely appealing. It was how early followers responded to crisis that caused the spread of Christianity, because people saw power and they wanted that power to themselves. This crisis that we're in is not imagined, it is real. The coronavirus is 20 times more contagious than influenza. For every 2 people infected with the virus, there's 100 other people who will be infected if the germs are transmitted. The incubation period, many of us may have the coronavirus right now and we don't know it. We may be spreading it right now and we don't know. These aren't fear-monger things. This is data. This is basic science. And you know, the CDC and everybody else that I'm hearing is all going to be talking about your physical health and all the tips to stay healthy and all the things we should do about washing our hands. Great, wonderful. It's all good. But we're not here for that. You can get that elsewhere. I'm not concerned about your physical health. I got to tell you, I'm concerned about your spiritual health. As we talk about flattening the curve, which is why we're not meeting physically at all Crossroads, we want to flatten the curve and spread out the contagion. As we're flattening, I just got to say, man, the way I hear some of us talking, your faith has been flattened. It's been flattened. And I'm just going like, really? We expected everything to be easy? We expected that if I did the right things and I thought the right thoughts and I just thought happy thoughts and I just, that everything would go easy for me? We really thought, no. We had a faith in something that wasn't real. We had a faith in some mythical reality that is not true. I'm not here to do dooms and gloom with us. I just want to fire a shot across the bow of many of us who just thought that life could be normal. Friends, crisis is normal. That's what history says. And now we get to be in one right now. And now we get to see what we're made of. Or we get to see if I want to make myself different, if I'm going to allow God to make me different. Jesus came to the earth in the midst of crisis. The Jewish nation was under oppression of Rome. There was crisis there. I mean, all of his miracles are coming because somebody was in the midst of crisis again and again and again. So his words, his teaching, are so relevant for us today. Let's take a look at some of them from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Here's what he says. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are you going to eat? Or what are you going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Or what are we going to wipe ourselves with? Can we lighten things up a little bit right now? Can we just lighten things up? Can we just notice? Like, there are some crazy, ridiculous things that are happening right now. We are so scared. We are scared poopless. This is still church, so I'll put it that way. If you were just with me, I would tell you what that word actually is. But we're still scared poopless. And I guess we're not too scared poopless because we're buying ridiculous amounts of toilet paper. Folks, this is crazy. Let's just step back. The reason why Jesus has this whole long thing about why we shouldn't have fear, why we shouldn't have anxiety, is because we're weird, man. We're like, America's not the land of the free or the land of the fear. We can freak out. Maybe it's not America. Maybe it's all people at all times, which is why the Bible talks about fear and anxiety so many times, 365 times, one for every day. And here we're going to have a whole long teaching on Jesus all about fear. Many industries and businesses, they get profitable when fear comes. I know around the country there are some grocery stores that have been hurting financially because we've had a very wild, mild winter. I swear some grocery stores must have agreements with their local meteorologists and say, hey, could you work in the words wintry mix? Oh, that'll get them. Because wintry mix happens. Oh, look out. Batteries and milk. Look out. We're gonna make up all of our monthly nut on batteries and milk. Well, we haven't had a really significant winter, but boy, we have a crisis. But the problem was, this crisis is not having people get batteries and milk. Getting toilet paper. The symptoms of the coronavirus are dry cough and fever. It is not blowing poop out of every orifice. It's not like poop is exploding through your eyeballs. Oh, where's some toilet paper, Mildred? Get some toilet paper. Put it on. I don't understand this. The only reason I know you might be concerned about toilet paper. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. If you don't have to, I'll cover you. I will. Go to me on my social media feed. Seriously, I got enough toilet paper. I'll send you a square in the mail if you really need it. Not a lot, because that's all about I use ever used normally. Maybe that's why I'm not in crisis. Some of you guys are like handfuls. I don't know what your deal is. I'll send you a square. Seriously, if you're really in crisis, I'll send you a square. Just follow me on social media and message me, and I'll have you coming around. Making fun of this. So I'm trying to just help us see. It's just a little ridiculous about how fearful we are. Now we actually have something that's a crisis, but some of us have been in perpetual crisis mode for so long that we don't know where to go from now. We were already maxed out. We're the culture that has ulcers. We're the only created things that have ulcers. No other created animal has an ulcer. No gazelle ever has an ulcer because gazelles don't live in constant anxiety and fear all the time. They have anxiety and crisis moment when they see a lion coming and they take off and run. And when it's over, they're either dead or they're not stressed anymore because it's over. We live in it all the time. And so for some of us, our response is just showing we're living in crisis mode all the time because the power of God is foreign to us. And we may actually be functioning atheists that have spiritual language, but the power for crisis isn't inside of us. Verse 27 says this, "Who among you," Jesus says, "by worrying can add a single moment to your life? Won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith?" Jesus says, those of us who have weak faith, who have been flattened, perpetually worry. Perpetually think about what could go wrong. Perpetually fixate on the negative. This is the time for us to go inward less and go outward more. Worrying is when you go inward with your thoughts, inward with your negative nightmare fantasies, inward with what all could be wrong. But Jesus wants us to go outward. Outward is when we go outward and we pray. We actually talk to God. We go out. We actually talk to people. We tell people how we're feeling. When we go inward and we worry and we think about these things, we don't get any closer to God. To get closer to God, we've got to go outward. We've got to actually talk, not worry, talk. The person in our community who's come a long way in this area, and actually God has enabled her to be more powerful in the midst of this crisis. Her name is Ella. Let's check out her story.
I have had anxiety my entire life. At my absolute worst, I have been hospitalized twice. It's led to panic attacks, and it's led to the thought of suicide and feeling like there's a weight so big that I'll never get out of this fear. I'll never break out of it. The worry is not making the right decision, and this decision's going to impact something greater in my life, which I think is what a lot of people are feeling right now with this virus. And it's a lot, it's heavy. I had some friends come around me and they begged me just every day. They would just say, just pray. And eventually, honestly, to kind of shut them up, I was like, okay, I'll do your prayer thing. And it was that time that I really sat down and prayed and tried to connect with God, saying, hey, I don't know. I honestly said, I don't know if you're even there. I don't know what you can do for me, but I don't have many other options, so do what you want if you're gonna do anything. And he did. So I would say that I had a deep encounter with God there, and there was this peace that on my worst day, I still had this like inside in the deepest core, I had this like joy and this peace that I would have traded some of my best days for. And that happened 3 years ago, and I can still stand on that exact moment. Because when you meet the Lord and he meets you where you are and you invite him in, it's indescribable. During this time, during the coronavirus pandemic, it's a time where I think we get to choose. We get to slow down, be present. Be present right now. Don't get caught up in the what's going to happen when this peaks, what's going to happen. Some of the outlets are telling us to prepare for the future, to prepare for what's coming next, I try to keep myself grounded in what's happening right now. How is this affecting my life today? And God's gonna have tomorrow. I can control my choice to rely on God. I can control my choice to ask Him for peace. I can't control what's gonna go on at the grocery store, whether I'm gonna be out or buy toilet paper. I don't know. But I can control how I react. And I can control whether I lean on my Facebook feed or whether I open my Bible or listen to worship music or connect with God in that moment instead of connecting with the fear and the emotions of everybody around me. I would say I am free of anxiety, and it takes me every time that I get to say that, because there was a time I didn't think I'd ever get to say that. That doesn't mean I don't have times that I'm anxious. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that make me anxious, but I have come to a place where it doesn't consume my life anymore. The Bible even promises us that there's going to be peace that surpasses all understanding, and that is the best way that I could possibly phrase it.
Man, I love what she says there. She's not saying there that all of a sudden I have no more fear ever. She's not saying all of a sudden I have no more anxiety. She's saying that God came to her and did something different in her, and she's making choices. That's what I'm trying to push everybody on today. I'm trying to tell you, you can make a choice on how stressed you're going to be. You can make a choice on how anxious you're going to be. You can make a choice on whether or not you're going to talk with God or you're going to go inward. You can make a choice, and you can have the power of God, and you can open yourself to His power, or you can do what everybody else does and just go around going, oh, I'm so... Hey, you got to control your life. You got to control your mind. That's what Jesus is saying. You can control your mind. You can control your life. And there's a power that God gives us that enables that to happen. Now, at this point in time, I'm surprised some of you are not going, this is not what I expected today. Not what I expected today. I expected some more positive stuff. I'm hoping to be positive. What is more positive than, you know, having toilet paper talk? That's pretty positive. That's always good. But and I got to tell you, things are going to get better. The market is going to rebound. It just is. We're getting used to this now as human beings. In my lifetime, there's been three or four major downturns, massive, massive. And everyone recovers quicker than the previous because we're getting more used to it. It's like active shooters. It's unfortunate. I think the last active shooter incident we had was like four people. And it was barely a headline because we're getting used to it. We're pressurizing to it. So the market and all of us as investors are getting used to it. The market will rebound. It will. We will resume some normalcy in our life. We will. I'm not the sky is falling guy. I'm just taking the opportunity to say, I know there's people, preachers, all over the place right now just trying to convince you life's going to be good. It's going to be all good. God's got a special care for you, and nothing's going to happen to you. Don't worry, because nothing's going to happen to you. Right around the corner, there's a blessing of God waiting for you. It's going to be all this stuff. And I just want to say, that Pollyanna speaking, if ancient followers of Christ heard that Pollyanna speaking, they would go, what faith is this? This is not the power of God I know, the power to deny that anything bad is happening, the power to deny that anything bad could happen. Fortunately, nobody in Crossroads has been infected with the coronavirus. Doesn't mean no one will. Doesn't mean we could not have loss of life here at Crossroads. Doesn't mean that at all. We're going to pray it doesn't happen. And we're going to love people who might be hurting in our neighborhoods or in our church. There's not some immunity bubble that God puts over His followers for suffering in the midst of crisis. Part of how you deal with the crisis is you get okay with the idea that life has difficulty and I'm in one right now. And I need to change my attitudes and my perspectives right now. Right now, it's not about looking at a retirement account and seeing, oh, it's down here. Right now, it's about going, hey, God, thank you that I'm not hungry today. Thank you. Right now, it's not about grieving that, oh no, I can't go to work, but it's shut down. Right about it's also, hey, God, I'm thankful that you have people in my life that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that. Right now, we redirect our mind towards those things. That's what we do when we're in the midst of crisis. And every hero in the faith, in the scriptures, they're a hero because of the crisis. Every single one. You know, I heard this guy, Daniel, I just think of one's come off the top of my head. Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den and God does save him. Amazing. Well, don't forget, he had a crisis. He was in a lion's den. A lion was slobbering on him, all right? It was serious, serious stuff. Jonah, who may be a hero, is a prophet in the Old Testament. He gets thrown overboard of a ship and he gets swallowed by a giant fish or a giant whale. Abraham, the founder of the Hebrew nation, he is to leave his entire way of life and go someplace different and wait to hear from God. That's suffering. That's a crisis. Moses, who leads the nation of Israel out of slavery, Moses is banished by his adopted family. Moses leaves all the comforts that he had in his previous home serving with Pharaoh to be a marauder in the desert. His previously comfortable way of life, it's gone. And it's gone forever. And he's a hero of the faith because of it. All the early apostles of Christ, all of them, except for one, the Apostle John, all of them died by the hands of their tormentors. Jesus himself tells us to pick up your cross and follow me daily. Get ready to lay your life down at a moment's notice. Some people have really freaked out that I'm hugging people. If you want me to hug you, I'll hug you. If you don't want me to hug you, that's okay, I won't hug you. You call, but if you're infected, I will hug you. I will hug you. I will lay my, if you need some human touch, I'll give you some human touch because I picked up my cross and died. I'm a walking dead man already. When you take that attitude, not protecting your life or keeping everything, or your illusionment of what America should look like or what your life looks like, spiritual power comes your way and things change. Jesus continues this. He says, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When Jesus says, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, do that first and everything else will be given to you as well. Remember, what was the other else? The other else was food, clothing, toilet paper. It was all those things is what he talked about. So he's not denying those aren't going to happen. And I'm saying as well, the best way for me to make sure my needs are met is if I'm tracking with my God and I'm seeking first his kingdom and I'm loving my neighbor as myself. Yes, my neighbor who I'm supposed to be 6 feet away from, I'm going to love him as my, yes, the guy who's annoying normally, but I'm going to love him as myself. And when I step out and step into other people's lives, there is a presence of God that brings things to me I wouldn't have otherwise. But I've got to seek first him, not seek first my comfortable American lifestyle that is the way it is supposed to be. I love my life. I love my lifestyle, but I'm not entitled to it. The only thing I'm entitled to is whatever God brings my way. I'm going to put my eyes on him. And Jesus says here, don't worry about tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't. Why we don't worry about tomorrow? Because we have time to put into our worries and troubles today. That's another thing Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow doesn't have any trouble. He doesn't say that. He says, work on the troubles you have today. Today, if you don't have enough money for food, work and worry about that today. Today. If you got food in your pantry for a while, don't think about food if you're going to run out of food. If you can put a plan in place to get more food, okay, great. Hopefully, this is all going to go away. And all of this stuff about crisis is going to go away because in 3 days, maybe this won't be a crisis anymore. That's why it's wasted energy to think further in the future. Worry about it today. If your kid is sick today, deal with today because that's trouble today. But don't think about what could happen a week from now, 2 weeks. That's wasted energy. You control your life. You control your faith. You control your outlook. We are not victims of this. You're only a victim if you're just swept away in the whole public outcry and doing what everybody else is doing, and that is being flattened by fear and anxiety. There is a God that's above you, he's beyond you, and he's working in and through you. Double down on your times of prayer. Why not? You got nothing better to do. You're quarantined, you're away. What are you gonna do? Just watch more Netflix? We say all the time regularly, you need to get with a group, and you get with a group. That Rodney Stark quote said, they were able to get in the crisis because they were living this way all the time anyway. Now you understand why we said you need to get in a group. You need to find one, like we're gonna give you some tools in a little bit. You need to find some people that are gonna cover your backside and you're gonna cover their backside. You need to find those people. You need to figure out what your mode of thinking is. I'm telling you what, if you're looking at CNN or Fox and you're letting them put their thoughts into your mind, you're not going to live with spiritual power. You need to figure out what your Bible rhythm is, where to get something in your mind that transcends the negativity and the fear-mongering that's going on. We're way excessively being more fearful than we should while we are in a legitimate crisis. So I'm going to invite the band to come out, and we're gonna do a song, and we got some other stuff that's happening right now, so we're not done. But this is actually one of my favorite songs, and I think it's a song that's especially relevant right now. So guys, we sing this song together before we get on to our next thing. I look forward to you bringing a calming influence on us, a calm, and a peace, and also a rising up of making this personal to our faith, that we will not be conquered. We will not be pushed down. We will not live with an ulcer. We will be people of faith, people who are different. Hear this, our song to you.
You are the rock of my salvation. All the power.
power. Again, want to pray some things in there. Mayor Blake, sorry, what's up? Which part? What's that? You guys ready? About things philosophical right now. People are needing power. So we're praying, God, right now. We're praying, God, right now for people who don't have childcare.
Oh, the power.
Well, that's good. I like that. That's right.
Oh, the power.
God, I'm thinking about businesses who are having stress right now. Bring your power.
Oh, the power.
God, I pray for marriages that are in crisis because there's more stress on top of the old stress. Bring your power. God, I know we have a hard time having ends meet normally, and now it's even worse. God, I ask for our governing authorities who are making calls and decisions. Give them the mindset that they need. God, alleviate from us our worried nature. God, bring us relational connection. God, meet our needs of food and clothing. Do that, God. God, bring a community around us and around us, around our community. Yeah, God, let's sing that one more time. That end looks good. Have church digitally. That was, come on now. You know what just occurred to me? Hey, some of the things I just prayed, if we can get somebody on the computer to put this in, if you want to text in or you want to put on your Facebook page, you're on, right, we would love to pray with you. Some of those prayers might, you know, I said, that was for me. Others, you're going, I hope he prays for this. We want to pray for you. We got people who can pray for you right now. So in a little bit, you'll see how to do that. Do that, and we want to be with you because we want you to go to a new place. All right, So next up, Chuck, come on in here. Where do we go from here, Chuck? Come on in here and talk to us.
Yeah. So hey, you know what? This virus is definitely stopping us from going to church in the traditional ways that we have, but it doesn't have to stop us from being the church. And so, man, if you're connected to Crossroads already, or maybe somebody shared this link with you, we want you to know, we want you to be a part of this church. You know, for the first 100 years, followers of Jesus didn't know anything about physical buildings anyway. That was not a thing that kept them or enabled them to be the church. And we want you to know there are ways you can connect. There's two things we're really focused on in this time. Connecting you, being a spiritual support to you. Like you said, we don't want this to flatten you spiritually. And also, how do we mobilize as a community? How can we serve? And there are two places where you're going to find all of the ways that you can connect and serve. And that is following us on social media, on all the platforms. Follow Courage Church, Crossroads Church, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's going to be the place where you're going to find daily worship, ways that you can connect and engage with other people. And then also download the Crossroads app. That's another opportunity you have to do things like be reading the same scriptures together and sharing and encouraging each other with each other what we're hearing from that. So we want you to know there are ways for you to be a part of the church. And here's my hope. My hope is that we would look back on this time and actually we would say, not that we wish this on anybody, because real people are being impacted by this. We're all impacted. but that we would say, this helped me grow closer to God, yeah. and I am so yeah. glad that I was connected to God's church.
We have so much to talk to you about, and we've been working hard the last several days. We've redeployed staff resources, because it takes a lot of energy to pull off services in all of our locations.
Definitely.
And we're running after problems.
Yes.
We're not about running services, we're about running after people.
Yeah.
And we just can't tell you all about it right now. We got to get outside of our thing. If all we do with all of our time off now is binge more Netflix, watch more YouTube videos, we're not going to be any better off. We have part of the solution to you. We're going to give you things that are grow you spiritually, enable you to get to your neighbors, and we want to enlist you in an army that's going to try to be blessing our community. So what Chuck said is that's all the right. And you might just need to find some people to be around and just to touch.
Yeah. You can touch me. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, so good.
We might have to self-quarantine later, but right now we're all good.
That's right. But we need to be around folks in whatever way you're comfortable with. We can't be isolated and just be binging things digitally. We need to be healthy right now.
That's exactly right. And part of the way that we're healthy as a church is that we give. We choose to be generous. We choose to step into this opportunity and be generous.
I guess I was supposed to talk about giving, wasn't
you
I?
Yeah, oh, you
yeah. We've had people say, hey, maybe we should take up a special offering for victims. No, we're not taking up a special offering because the bread and butter of all of Crossroads Resources goes to help people all the time. The more resources we have, the more people we can help. And so as we give, as we tithe, we're just, the more resources we have, the more we can deploy into our communities. And so if you still have a job right now, if you still got a paycheck coming in, you got something to tithe off.
Yeah.
And if you don't, hey, man, sit back. And if you're newer spiritually, you're not sure why exactly to give, great, we're not here to convince you of anything like that. But for those of us who are in the faith and are grounded in our faith, we understand this is important for times like this.
Exactly right.
So crossroads.net/give, and I think that's it, right?
One more thing, and that is, I can't imagine a better series for us to be going into. And even just the way that this is going to be delivered. Next weekend, we start a brand new series called Real Encounters with God. This is actually a series we've done before, Immersive Teachings in Israel. This one is new because it's all about Jesus and the Jesus myth, separating truths from Jesus from what is true, from myths that we might believe. And man, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. It's a great in-room experience, but amazing digitally especially. And we'll find out in the next couple of days how long we're going to be, if we're going to be off next weekend or how long. We're taking it week by week. But yeah, you're right. We couldn't ask for something better. It's going to be amazing. So at minimum, we'll see you digitally next week.
Coming this March, the Jesus Myth. A pilgrimage to the most controversial places on earth, investigating ancient stories of Jesus, separating the myth from the truth, and discovering what it means for you today. The third season of Real Encounters with God, all new, on location, in Israel. New places, new people, new encounters. Real Encounters with God, the Jesus Myth. Premiering March 21st to 22nd at Crossroads.